You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Carol Mazzavancero, welcome to Token Theater Friends. I'm so happy to have you here with me today. How's your week going? Like, this is, what, are you in the second or third week of the run of your play by now?
Yeah, this is the second weekend of the shows. So this weekend, we started yesterday. Yesterday was the first show of this weekend. And I have a show tonight, and then I have a show on Saturday.
Wonderful. So I always jump ahead of myself. So can you tell us what your show Song of Joy is about?
Yes. My name is Carol Mazzavancero, and my show, Song of Joy, is an autobiographical play about my life so far that is centered around immigrating through. I was born in India, and I grew up between India, Austria, Switzerland, and then when my family moved or immigrated to Dallas, Texas, when I was 12. So it's a story about, like, you know, immigrating and what that feels like for an individual and their family, and how I've come to identify home and how I've come to identify as myself and who I am today. So by telling that story, I'm also sort of kind of showing, like, the toll it takes on a family as well, and how much my parents, both my mom and my dad, have sacrificed in order to better their families. And those are the subplot? I don't know. Like, that's the other story that's also in my story. Because as we all know, like, we are all people. Nobody is just here by themselves. They're all from someone, and I am from my parents, and so my story is very much related to their story, and that's also part of the play.
I love that you used the word subplot, because you're the playwright here, I'm a journalist, but you're predominantly an actor. So what is it like for you to see your life in play form? I mean, obviously you wrote it, so what's that like, and how is it different from, say, when you're doing Kit Hamill's plays, or when you're doing work by someone else? How do you access the Carol in Song of Joy as opposed to, like, a character in a play?
Yeah. I think, you know what? It's so much more fun to be in a Kate Hamill play. Let's just start off there, okay? It is really, really hard to be in my own play. Where I play myself. And not just myself, like my parents and these dramatic moments in my life, as well as, like, you know, like the funny parts of my life. But it is, I do think it's definitely harder. Like, I think I would joke with the director, like, it, you know, it was like pulling teeth to get me to act, you know? And I'm an actor, I love acting, but it's so hard. It was really challenging to play these scenes that I wrote from my life, and then to go through a rehearsal for, like, oh, now we have to do them. Like, I would spend so much time just talking about the day, like, hey, Nick, what's going on with, you know what I mean? Like, just kill time. Because there's so much resistance, because it's so hard, it's so vulnerable, and that work is really difficult to do. But then, which brings me to the other point, which is that it is also so rewarding. I think it's more as an artist, I feel truly, truly feels rewarding to do this kind of a play where I'm taking this big risk. I'm taking this, it's so vulnerable. I feel so, I feel so vulnerable doing it. And in doing so, and then sharing it, and then knowing that the audience is receiving me in this very intimate way feels so rewarding and so nourishing to me. And I don't think I've had that experience being an actor in a play. So as an artist, this is really great. But as an actor, it's just fun to be in a play. You know, don't do your own work. Just be in a play.
I love that. So if I ever, I don't think I'm ever going to act. I don't know how you do it. Like, I don't know how you get to be on a stage and not just like, you know, like collapse. But I hope you don't mind me saying this, but your play is so full of love.
Yeah.
And it is like a love letter to the people in your life. And it's a love letter to your life. And I guess like my question is like, what was it like for you to write it? You know, like how did you realize that it was turning into the play that you are now performing in and that you're doing every night for a bunch of strangers?
Yeah. The play itself started very unconsciously, because I went to Brooklyn College for my MFA in acting, and the program head is Judy Lee-Vivier, and she has this thing at the end of the 2 years, like at the final semester, we develop a little solo piece. And these solo pieces are things you write yourself. So she asks you to bring in photographs and all these things. And we use sense memory and all these things, and we just keep writing throughout the class. And so all these things that I was writing were all these people that, you know, I love very much. And they are my parents, they're my grandparents, they're my sister, like, you know, all these people in my life. And so these little individual stories is what I had in the beginning. And then over the pandemic, I sort of looked at them again, and then I made them into a, connected them more and made them into a show, you know? It's not my first time that I've like written or like made theater per se, but it's definitely the first time that I've made one officially, if that's a thing. You know, like where it's like produced at a theater and like people come to go see it. I do little plays at my church growing up, and like that's my experience with theater, was doing that. So like that, the idea of making something is familiar to me, but this, a way of like putting my own stories and drafting it into a play and structuring it into a play and thinking about how the audience will perceive if in the order in which it is said and things like that. Was very new, and it was exciting making it. Like the writing part of it was exciting. It's just the rehearsal part of it that was just like, oh, now people are gonna come see this. Oh, okay, you know, that was challenging. It's still challenging, but yeah, I think I'm getting more used to it, or hopefully I'm getting used to it, yeah.
I always, like, I mean, maybe I'm just like making up how actors' brains work. Maybe it's not like this at all, but I wonder, you know, like how does, if this is the case, what did Carol the writer learn about Carol the actor and Carol just like the regular human being while writing the play? Or is that not something that happens? Are you just like, I'm just one person, I can't divide myself out of it?
No, I think, you know, that's a very interesting question, because yeah, there's so much I've learned about myself by writing the play, that's for sure. One thing for right off the bat is like, I mean, you know, like I know that I love my parents, but writing the piece have allowed me to love them in a way that is so, I feel like it's like deepened that love, you know, because I'm being forced to sort of like think about their perspective and what was going on for them and seeing them really as human beings and not just as my parents and like what I'm owed from them or whatever. You know, like I feel like we oftentimes takes our relationships in every way sometimes for granted, you know, because like, yeah, well, of course they're my dad, they're my mom, they're my family, they're not gonna go anywhere, you know? But by writing the piece, I'm like, oh wow, like these are real people with, you know, really working against something here or working for something here, and what is that? And now I just have so much admiration and love for them that I've always had, but I think it's like it's deepened it in a way that I wasn't expecting, I guess. And then also, like, I learn about myself. I realize, oh, where do I come from, and what have I experienced growing up, and where am I today? And then I feel a sense of ownership for myself, and this new sense of even self-worth that I didn't have before, which is also really beautiful and unexpected.
I felt almost like it was this beautiful snow globe of a play where now you have Song of Joy and you can look at it and you can read it whenever you want. And it's this incredibly moving way of you capturing all these people that you love. And do you have any plans to do more plays in order? Because it must be like a surreal way to preserve things, right? And things that you love and moments that you cherish for all of eternity.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, a part of it also was to, like you said, preserve. It's, I'm always like wondering about like how, I don't know, how people might receive me or whatever. So this was also in a way to capture my own humanity. Like a lot of the plays about like seeing me, you know, seeing me for who I am and accepting me for who I am and et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, for sure. And I think so. And I think like even because we had a smaller workshop production of this piece that we did in a year ago, a little over a year ago, maybe. So it was like the December of 2022. No, 21. I don't know. Anyway, it was like a while ago. It was a year ago. Okay. And it was just four performances. And so then we, you know, the Tank invited us to, you know, to do the play as part of their core productions this spring and give us a run. And so now working on it since that time, the previous workshop production, I already felt like, okay, like here are some changes that I want to make because I myself have grown, or, you know, we grow so quickly. So it's like, because it's such a personal piece, there are some pieces that I'm like, I don't know if this is like resonating with me anymore. And then so like then having to like rewrite that section or finding why it was in there in the first place, you know, because sometimes there's like, I don't know why this was here, but it was so relevant to me a year ago, but now it doesn't feel relevant. And then having somebody else be like, I think you can cut it because it's part of, you know what I mean? And then you'd be like, find the reason why it's there again, because you have outgrown it or you've moved past it, but it still needs to be there because it's still part of the story, you know? Yeah, so that's also interesting. So yeah, I think so. I think it would be interesting. I don't think I'm not interested in doing it again. You know what I mean? Like, I think it would be interesting to do it again in a few years' time and to see like, oh, where am I then? And then how does this story affect me at that time? And then how would I tell it now? And see. Even doing the run of the show, I'm always like, well, you know, this scene can go actually here and this scene can get cut, you know? But I'm doing the show. You know what I mean? So I think that the writer brain, I don't know how to like, I should probably turn it off and be a better actor, but like I can't because it's my story and it's about me and I'm doing it. So I'm like, I don't think the audience cares about this scene. And I think it's because of this, and this reason, you know?
Yeah. There were so many moments in the play that spoke to me almost like you had taken something from my life. And have you figured out math yet? I mean, I felt that moment. I don't want to spoil it, but I was like, I felt that moment so bad, you know, like so much. I was like, I never got, I mean, I know how to multiply, but like you in the play, I was like, I don't, like, why? Why is math? So
yeah,
why is math, Carol?
Yeah, you know what I think it is? I think I don't think I'm actually bad at math, you know? I'm actually quite logical. I'm a very logical person. And if we're sharing like moon signs or whatever, like I'm a Virgo moon, okay? And so that reflects in my, like the way that I organize things for myself. And I'm pretty good at math. What happened is I had this not so great experience with my dad, where he was really adamant that I learn math or like learn the times table when I was a kid. That sort of put me off of it, I think. And And then so now it's like, it just kind of creates like this, like, oh, like numbers and math, like, I don't know. And I just sort of like dismiss it now. However, like, listen, I am an adult. I pay my bills. I can count when it matters. I can multiply. I can divide. And if not, my phone will help me, you know? So I think we're fine, Jose. I think we're good.
Basically, math, it doesn't get better, right? It doesn't get better. You know, and you asked earlier, by the way, Taurus moon, I don't know what that means about me, so yes.
Okay,
Taurus, yeah. But you're a Beyonce moon, basically, right?
Yes, Beyonce moon, yeah. So that's good.
That's fabulous. And I mean, we have a new moon coming, is it today or tomorrow? Like, I don't want to turn this into like the astrology show, but I love astrology, so if you know something about what I should be doing and what we all should be doing because of the new moon and me and Taurus, please let me know. Like, I'm really fascinated.
Oh, that's so funny. Cause like, I don't know anything about astrology, but I will be the first one to bring it up. I know my moon and my sun, and I know like who I'm supposed to be most compatible with. And that's all I know. That's all that matters to me. And so I'm just like, I'll bring it up. And like you said, there's a new moon. I'm like, I have no idea. I don't know. I just know about my moon and my sun.
Again, we have phones. I'm sure I can just like go in like CannyNicholas.com and just like figure it out. So another moment that I was like, okay, Carol, have you been like conceptioning my brain, was the moment when, now I feel like I'm spoiling your show.
No, but please.
This is My Heart Will Go On reference. And that song, I saw it play last night. I saw Edward Lewis's Who Killed My Father, directed by Thomas Ostermeyer here in Madrid. Oh. And there was also a My Heart Will Go On moment. So maybe I'm just asking you all these questions as if you have the answers. I feel like you have the answers. What is it about that song that, I mean, if I go every night in my dreams,
yeah,
you'll know where, you know, like, what is it about that song you think that has this power, this hold over us? Like yesterday, I was, you know, I was feeling my Celine deep inside, yeah. Although I wish I could sing even, I don't know, like a half or like a third or quarter as good as she can. But what is it about this song you think that has this hold on us?
You know, this is a great question. I mean, I don't know. I you know what? I think in the context of my play, this is very, it's very specific in that Titanic was a big deal. I think Titanic might have been the first, or for many people who are my age, the first American movie that they went to go see in a theater. Because Indian people, you know, we live in communities and we sort of, when you're kids, your parents are immigrants, so they, like, you know, English is a second language and it takes them more effort to understand what's happening in an English movie, right? So they're going to watch, you know, I grew up watching Malayalam movies. Because that's where I'm from, and that's the language that I speak, and that's where my parents speak, and so we watch Malayalam movies growing up. And so watching an English movie was like very foreign to us. However, I remember being in Austria, and all of my parents' friends were like, you have to go out to see Titanic. It's so good. Everybody was obsessed. And my parents dressed us up, and we went to the movie theater for the very first time in our lives. And we went and we stood in line to go see Titanic. This was like maybe 2 months after it had already come out. And we stood in line, we went to the thing, and the person who was selling the tickets were like, you know, that the movie is rated R. And so like, you know, with children, you want to be something along, but they're speaking in German. So my parents, I think, were like, oh, the kids can't see it. Or like, oh no, it's too scary for them. Or like, they're not allowed or something. So they didn't buy the tickets. And I remember that day being so disappointed. Because we had dressed up, we were going to go see a movie for the first time in a theater in Austria, like, and we didn't, you know? Because we watch movies through, we rent cassettes from the Indian store of Indian films, and then that's how we watched them back then. And so that song was always playing on the trailer whenever the television was on and all these things. And so that song was very much a part of our culture. And I think all the Indian people who did go see that movie, that song was like, yes, because it was like a communal experience that everybody had together. People would sing it at like Holy Communions, baptisms, like everybody was singing it, you know? My kid knows an English song and the song will be My Heart Will Go On. Like, that was the thing. So I think like that's what it is. Like that song is very, it takes me, and I'm sure my generation, to a very specific memory of childhood, like a very defining moment of like culture in our childhood, of experiencing this movie as well as this song. Yeah, I think that's why.
How many times have you seen Titanic since that time where you couldn't see it though?
I have seen it so many times. I love that movie. Okay. I don't care if it's not like some masterpiece. To me it is a masterpiece. It is so good. So good. Sometimes I feel like I could do like a one-man show of Ruth, you know, like Kate Winslet's mom in the show. It would just be like her experience of the Titanic. And she'll say things like, "Our memories scattered to the winds." You know, just like her lines in that movie. Oh my God. I watch it for her, honestly. She's like, what? Who, like, what world is she living on? This is so incredible.
I realized that I'm slowly hitting that age when the other day I saw the trailer for the 25th anniversary Titanic.
Yeah.
And can you believe that?
Yeah. I was like, what? 25 years? But you know what I do remember? Like, wait, remember, was it the 15th maybe? Or was it? Was it the 15th anniversary that they also released the movie again? Or was it the 20th? Yeah, it was the 15th, right? It was in 3D and it came on theaters all over the world. I think so. I remember like being in Lubbock, Texas, and that being happening. And I like literally relived my childhood. I was like, I'm going to go see this movie in theaters. And I dragged a friend and we went to go see it in theaters. But no, it's crazy. It's 25 years. Wow.
And I love that they're doing it like Valentine's Day weekend. So like, I'm single, so I already told my friend, we're going. I'm like,
we're going
out together.
I think they did it the same time for the last anniversary screening was, I think it was also for Valentine's Day. I have a feeling. I think so.
Why did they do this? It's so sad. Like, this movie's so sad.
I know, but it's also so lovely. So good.
It's beautiful. Yeah, I would totally go root for your Ruth show when it happens. So like, count me in.
Thank you. It'll be called Ruth. Are the lifeboats seated according to class? Ruth for short.
Cannot wait to see you wearing that fur hat. So in your play, like, let's stop talking about James Cameron for a second. Like, you know, yeah, he has enough attention. In your play, it's so interesting to see how much pop culture comes into play. So can you talk a little bit about that? You know, like, was it surprising for you to realize, hey, I never knew how much this song or this movie or this, you know, thing had meant to me until now I'm talking about it every night on stage?
I'm surprised by that, like how much or like these key moments of pop culture that has really affected me. One of them being I assume you're talking about like Black Swan. Yeah. That movie, my God. I mean, you know, like, it is such a like horrific film. It's about, you know, like, Natalie Portman dies at the end. But I could care less. I was like, what is this? What are they doing? This is called ballet. I must have it. It was so, to me, it was my first time experiencing ballet. I was so, I can't even like put it to words how beautiful I thought it was. Like, even the idea, I know it's like in the movie, it's about like the idea of perfection kills her, but I'm like, I love it. I'm like, there are these people in this world that are dancers and their literal job is to be the perfect. Like that's what they're striving towards, like the perfect technique, the perfect, like, it is amazing. And then like they decide to become a dancer like at a such a young age. You know, it's like, they're like, 10 years and they're like, yeah, I'm going to be a ballerina or I'm going to be a dancer. And like, that's what they do with life. And then they retire early because their body gives up. It is like, it is tragic and so beautiful at the same time. I don't know if there's any art form that is like, that lives on that level. You know, it's so stunning. Anyway, so like Black Swan was my introduction to that world. And I have been a fan since then.
But it was perfect.
It was perfect.
Yeah, it was me doing the last scene.
Yeah.
So like, sorry if you haven't seen the next one, maybe don't watch this part. I love that you also include next one because this has nothing to do with anything. This has nothing to do with you even, but this is me trivia, but actually Titanic and Black Swan happen to be the movies that I've watched at the movie theater the most times, 8 times each. So I was
wow.
like,
wow. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. So we're on the same. Obsessed. Yeah. Okay. Great. Great. Okay. Okay. When do you get back from Madrid? We are catching up.
And when you do a Black Swan inspired show, let me know. I can do the part of what's his name? To Vincent Cassell, like attack, 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 attack.
I mean, have you seen the great SNL sketch based on that movie?
No, I don't think I have. Now I know what I'm doing later today.
It's so good. I think, oh my God, what's his face? Oh my God, oh, Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey plays, the swan. So good.
I remember that. So, okay, so let's come back to your play. And I know, no, it's fine. I mean, I can talk about Black Swan, Titanic forever, but like, this is about you. Obviously you can't control how people react and what people think of your show, but you know, your show is like really beautiful that I'm 100% positive that there's gonna be people who are going to one day be referencing, you know, maybe Son of Joy in a play that they made themselves. So do you ever think about that or not? And if so, like, I don't know, like, I don't even know if I have a question here, but I kept thinking, you know, like, it's beautiful that you're celebrating the things you love because someone will celebrate your work as well at some point.
Yeah, I've definitely have never thought about that. I'm like, what? No, I don't think so. You know, it's really hard for me to see it outside of what it is now. You know, the most I can see is like, yeah, where else can I like tailor this play? And what else can I make? Where else can I make adjustments? And if I do it again in a few years, like what would I change about it? Like those are things that I can see, but I can't see it as like as some sort of work that people might think about or talk about or any of that because it's my life, you know? So it's too personal for me to think about it as like here's a play. Because I see it as like, here's me and I'm gonna tell you about me today with you in the space. And that's what it is, you know? So it's really hard for me to see it as, it's really hard for me to see it as a play even, to talk about it as a play because it's not a play. It is a play, but it's also about my life. I don't know.
So I won't ask about who your dream cast to play you in a few years will be. You're like Natalie Portman.
Yeah, Natalie Portman for sure.
Something also that I really love about the play is how open you are about, you know, anxiety and like how open you are about mental health. And as an actor, do you have any rituals or any tools or any practices that you don't, you know, like you don't have to recommend or suggest, but are there any practices that maybe, you know, something that your play does beautifully is remind us that what's out there can help someone? Like reading your play, for instance, made me feel less alone. Mm. And I think that is the effect that art has on people. So for people out there who might, you know, find your suggestions or rituals or advice helpful, do you have any? That you don't mind sharing?
You know, I mean, I'm also still figuring it out how to manage my anxiety. I don't have, it's, you know, it's a journey. It's like an ongoing process, but I mean, I go to therapy. I go to, and figure out like where it's coming from, when it's the most activated and how can I navigate that? And how can I overthink less and, you know, all of these things. And I guess like the most, what I'm learning what's something that's like seems to be working the most is just taking time and breathing, which is like really hard for me. which is also the number one thing you should do as an actor. But it's so hard. It's so hard to just breathe and take time. And yeah, you know, like even like speaking, right? Like even speaking, it's so hard for me not to use filler words or use ums and be comfortable in myself to just like, yeah, let me collect my thoughts and think about these things. And once I have them, I will say them, you know, because that means I'm going to take up space. And it's really hard to take up space. And that's, you know, that's like, you know, why is it hard to take up space? Like, you know, like there's like, you know, come see the show. But you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's like there's reasons for all of these things. And then it's like, you know, your adult self is learning how to cope with that. And then like, how do you navigate that? And blah, blah, blah. And I haven't figured it out, but I think breathing and which in doing so, being more comfortable to take up space, I think is really helpful for me.
Carol, thank you so much for making me feel less alone with your beautiful play.
Thank
would you like to, yeah, of course, like, would you like to invite our viewers and our listeners to come see Song of Joy?
Yes, please come see Song of Joy. It's running at the Tank in Midtown, NYC. Our following weekend performances are the Thursday, 26th. 27th Friday, 28th Saturday. There's two shows at 2 p.m. and at 7 p.m. And then the final performance closing night will be on the 29th, which is a Sunday at 3 p.m. So those are the, yeah, those are the show times. I hope to see you all there. And yeah, thank you.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the SUPs. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.